I've never found a person that wants to lose. We all want to do well. And, well, the devil wants you to lose and he wants to defeat you, but God wants you to win. And he shows us how to win.
Amen.
God shows us how to be blessed.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk this morning about principles. Principles. Because principles are designed to bring blessing to us.
Yes.
And years ago when I first heard somebody teach on this, it just changed the way I think. It just changed the way I respond to things. And it just changed the way that I use when people come to me for guidance and counseling and so on. It just changed everything. So I want to share some of that with you this morning. It's a bit of a big topic. We won't get all of, won't do all of it this morning. But I believe that the Lord has something good for us.
Yes, amen.
When we talk about principles, a principle is like the first step of everything. A principle is the first thing. And I always think of it as the first step towards everything that we do. If you miss the first step, it's a little hard to take step number two and step number three and eventually the last step where we walk into victory. So you got to start out the right way.
Yes.
If you don't start out the right way, you probably won't end the right way. So that's what principles do for us. It's the first law of everything. Now, you know, everything in life is governed by principles. Everything. It doesn't matter what aspect of life it is. God has principles for it.
That's right.
First things, laws that you cannot break, commandments that you cannot disobey. Because if you do, then you won't get the blessing that you pray so hard for. You know, when you break principle, you can't pray against that. Because that disobedience will just cancel everything that God has for you. You know, God spoke to the Old Testament prophet and he says, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land.
Yes.
It's the willingness and the obedience. So that's where principles come in. Now, I always think of principles like traffic lights. There are green ones and red ones. Now, we don't like the red ones, but the red ones protect us.
That's right.
So if you disobey the red light and you get T-boned, you can't go and say, well, God punished me. You can't say God punished me. Because God didn't punish you, you broke a principle, you broke a law. And the principle punished you. I'm amazed that people say things like, when things go bad in the nation, they say, well, God is judging us. We hear a lot about that. Some people in the U.S. especially, they say, well, God's judging the nation. Well, God is not in judgment right now.
No.
Judgment day is coming, but God is not judging now. This is the time of grace. But if the people break God's laws and his principles, then those principles will punish them. Because locked up in the principle, of course, are both blessing and curse. And it depends on which one you activate. What you will get. So both the red light and the green light are designed to bring blessing to you. Sometimes there's a green light and people say, well, I wonder if I should go through that door. I wonder if I should take this route. It seems to be open to me, but I wonder about it. Because I don't have the faith to step into it. And they keep on praying, God, bless me, help me out of this, help me out of that, take away this problem and all. And they keep on praying and praying. But as long as they're in disobedience, of course, nothing happens.
That's right.
Amen. You know, it's this is not rocket science that we're talking about. This is pretty simple stuff.
Amen.
But it's still very powerful. You know, you got to do the right thing if you want to reap the right thing.
Amen.
If you don't do the right thing, and you can't expect, if you do the wrong thing, you can't expect to reap the right thing. So let's go in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has on these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Our focus this morning is there in verse 3, where he says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding. Making sure you don't fall. Helping you not to fall. Helping you not to fail. Upholding all things. Well, that includes you. By the word of his power. The same word that created us and everything is also the word that upholds us. Amen. It's also it's the same word that maintains us and keeps us strong and effective and productive. It's the same word. It comes out of the same word. This word is very rich, and as we saw there in verse 1, God does it in various ways. He spoke in various ways, and even today, he speaks in various ways. There's a lot of synonyms that we find in the Bible that for the word, upholding all things by the word of his power. And that's when we begin to study, we find some things that we call principles, first laws, precepts, judgments. I studied a little bit of these words yesterday, and I saw a judgment is a conclusion that you come to after you thought about something very carefully. Then you make a judgment on it. I believe God thought about things before he gave us the principles that we need to live by. There are testimonies, laws and commandments. So there are do's and don'ts, but both of them are designed to bless us. Now, we know from Genesis 1 and verse 26 and 27 and there in those verses that the Bible says that we were made in the image of God. And God made us. And of course, When God makes something, immediately there's purpose involved. God doesn't do anything without purpose or without a reason. There's a reason why you are here. There's a reason why you are on the earth. There's a reason why God equipped you with talents and gifts and skills like he did.
Amen.
There's a reason for all of that. And it has to do with purpose. With your purpose in life. Now, you can ignore all of that and still hope to do well and find out you're not doing well at all. Because you're ignoring something that was built into your design. So when we talk about design, you'll find that in that design, that design includes a whole bunch of principles. I'll explain that a little later as we go on this morning. But we cannot ignore those principles that make up our design. Because if we do, you're going to find out things don't always add up for you. Things get tough. Things get a little difficult. And you wonder why everybody else seems to be doing well, but you're not doing well. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
And every aspect of life, if you want that aspect to be blessed, must be based on the principles and the laws that God gave to govern that aspect. I'm thinking of things like, just to help us get the concept right, is you take something like marriage. There's a whole bunch of principles that govern marriage. There's lots of them. But if you break them, for whatever reason, maybe you don't like it, maybe you don't like certain principles, you do your own thing, you'll find out marriage doesn't do for you what it was meant to do. Becomes a drag. Becomes a problem more than a blessing. And you can go for counseling and you can pray about it, you can fast about it, and it will stay that way until you begin to honor the principles that govern marriage. There are red lights and green lights, right? There are some things that you must do, and there are some things that you must not do. Health. Health. Our bodies were designed to operate in a certain way. And there are principles built into our bodies and the way they're supposed to operate. And you can ignore it, but you'll reap the consequences. And that this is one of the most tragic things in Christianity, is that people live unhealthy lifestyles and they keep on praying that God will heal them. You get a little difficult area here. Especially in the day that we live, where our food really, you got to read the labels of the food that you eat or buy. You got to read the label. They say if you can't say it, don't put it in your mouth. Don't eat it. If there's something on that label that you can't say, well, don't put it in your mouth then. Because God gave us natural food to feed our natural bodies. Now, there are some things in the natural food that people don't like. And you can ignore it, but you'll pay the consequences. But built in that principle, a principle is blessing and curse. And you activate it depending on how you obey it and apply it to your life. That's pretty simple, right? God didn't come with things that are complicated for us to follow. He comes with things that are very basic and very simple. Finances, money. There's a whole series of principles that govern finances, financial blessing. There's a purpose in that. Money has purpose. But when we abuse that purpose and use it for the wrong thing, then we will reap the wrong thing. Now, I know the devil is out there, and he comes against marriage, and he comes against health, he comes against finances, he comes against families, and all the things in life. He comes against all of that. But, and even if he steals from you in any of those areas, by staying true to this word that upholds us, God will pull you out of it.
Amen.
Because the word that upholds you will make sure you don't fall in that situation. It'll uphold you under attack. It'll uphold you when the thief shows up. It will uphold you when the enemy comes against you. It will uphold you. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Every aspect in life, and that's why we need to study the Bible and identify those things that God gave us, those principles, those precepts, those commandments and those laws, so that we can identify them and apply them. That's why we need to be students of the word and not just readers or hearers. The Bible actually says if we are hearers only, then we will deceive ourselves. If we only hear but we don't do, it says we will deceive ourselves. I think self-deception is rampant in Christianity. There's a lot of self-deception that goes on. Now people can, some people can, the word just rolls out of their mouth. They know it all. The problem is they don't apply it. That's the problem. Yeah. The power is in the doing. It's not in the knowing. You got to know it, but it's in the doing where we fail. That's where we miss it. It's in the doing. Now, some people say, well, you know, I don't like to live by laws and stuff like that. I want to be free. Well, when we break the laws of God, you'll find that you have no freedom at all. You'll just have a lot of troubles to deal with. And that's no freedom. That's no freedom at all. So for our own benefit, if we want to win in life, then we need to read the Bible, study the Bible, find those principles, find those laws, and live by them. And as I said, and I keep on saying that because I know that there are certain red lights that we don't like. And there are certain green lights that we don't like. The fact that you don't like it doesn't take away the consequences. See, God's laws were in place long before you were born. And He's not going to change them for you. He's not going to make them easy just because you showed up. The other aspect of it is this, that God knows better than we do. He spoke and said, my thoughts and your thoughts are not the same. Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, which means I know better than you do. And I know how to bless you. If you only will follow me, then you'll see that. Yeah. If only you will do what I tell you to do, you will see the outcome of it. You'll see it. Now, it doesn't always make sense. Somebody said the Word of God was not given to us to make sense. It was given to make faith. Amen. And faith kicks in where understanding can't go. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, but I know, well, if God says it, I better believe it, and then it'll work for me, even though I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe as we grow, more understanding will come. How many of you have read Brother Hagin's book, Growing Up Spiritually? Well, if you haven't, then I strongly recommend that you get that book and devour it. Because that will change your entire life. God wants us to mature in the things of the Spirit. And He wants us to mature in life. God wants us to be able to be helpful also to other people and be a beacon of hope or be an example of hope to other people that struggle. And you have to be able to come against a little bit of controversy, stand up when things don't work out well. You have to be able to stand up against some things that come against you. There's a whole bunch of things in Christianity that I don't like. I'll be honest with you. You know, that I believe it's Gandhi that said, I love Jesus, but I don't love Christians. And that's a very bad commentary on us. If only we would do what Jesus tells us to do, Christianity will be a lot more attractive. Well, let's get away from that one fast. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a very interesting psalm, and I want to recommend you to study that psalm well. Don't be turned off because it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I think, oh, and I read how many verses are there? 176 verses. Every one of them is a good one. But I just want to read a few from verse 33, Psalm 119. This whole psalm, no wonder it's the longest chapter in the Bible, is on the Word of God. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Teach me the way of your statutes. That's another word for word that God uses to uphold us. He gave us statutes. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Keeping it to the end is where the victory is. Sometimes we give up at point 99. And we say, this stuff doesn't work. keep it to the end. Keep it till it works for you. It will work. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. The law. I think the most important part of that understanding is that we need to keep the law. We don't always understand the law, but we need to keep it. We don't understand always the laws of nature. It doesn't matter. You don't have to understand it. They still work. Whether you understand it or not, they work. They work. We always talk about the law of gravity. You don't have to understand all of that, but you use it every day. And you can say, well, I don't believe in that. I'll jump off the roof. It's not going to work for me. Try it. Whether you believe it or not, it'll work. Because it's a law that God put in place. And the best you can do is to use that law to your advantage. Because if you break it, it's going to break you. And that's just how the laws of God work. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments. That's another word. Now we have a few already. We have statutes. We have law. Now we have commandments. He says, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not covetousness. God's testimonies. So there's another word, God's testimonies. What's a testimony? Yes, something that works. It's been testified. It's been tested and testified that it works. Verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. There's another word that God uses to uphold us. It's his ways. The blessing of God is poured out on the ways of God. If you leave those ways, then you miss the blessing. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you, your word. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Your judgments. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. I long for your precepts. God's precepts are all in his word. His statutes are in his word. His ways, his testimonies, his judgments, his commandments are all in his word. And they are all designed to make our lives easy, to bring blessing to our lives, to bring victory to our lives in a world that's falling apart. That's the reason for all these things. Now, I just want to give you a simple example of how design and principle work together. A while back, we installed a dishwasher in our house. And we had to renovate the whole house. There was a lot of confusion and things that everything had to be changed, everything. And there was a cable, an electric cable that ran from the electric panel. We have a sauna in the basement. And I thought, well, I need a cable. I'll just feed it back to where the dishwasher is going to be installed. And installed it, connected it up, turn the dishwasher on. Gone. Fried the circuit board. What was wrong? Well, nothing was marked. Nothing was written down. The previous owner knew what that was, but we didn't know. He didn't write anything down. Got somebody out to look at it. Said there was 220 volt on that cable. But the dishwasher was designed. There was a principle built into the design that it can only run on 110 volt. And I broke that principle in ignorance. If I knew, I would not have done it. But the fact that I didn't know didn't help. That's the problem with ignorance. Ignorance will not excuse you. See, that's... I always say ignorance is our greatest enemy in the church. Not the devil. It's not the devil. It's ignorance, because the devil can only deceive you in the area of your ignorance. If you know that you know that you know, he's going to leave you alone. There are certain things the devil cannot bring to me because I know that I know that I know. He won't go there. But there are areas where he can trip me up, because there are some areas that I still need to attend to. Are you with me? Amen. The fact that I installed that high-powered cable in ignorance did not save me from the consequences. It cost me to fix it. I had to pay. And not only that, it rendered that machine ineffective in its purpose. Just because I violated the principle. The machine could not do what it was designed to do. Now, there are some principles in your design that God built in there and says, this person, this is what I want this person to do in his or her generation. That's your design, that's your purpose, that's why you're there. And if you do what I made you to do, then you'll be effective, you'll be fruitful, you'll be satisfied, your life will be blessed. You'll say, it's great to be alive.
Amen.
But if you ignore it and you say, well, you know, I'll just take this cable. There's a spare cable here. That seems to be easy and cheap and, you know, all of that. I like to do that. And that's what I'm going to do. You're going to be short circuit somewhere and pay a fine. And you're going to have somebody come and fix it and pay him for that and say, well, let's do it again. We'll try it now and pay it again. And how many times do you want to do that before you learn? There's only one right way, people. There's only one right way to live. There's only one right way to do life. Amen. That is God's way.
Amen.
He's the creator. He knows. We are created beings. We can't compete with God and his wisdom. He knows a lot better than we do. Somebody said, I should have stayed home today. No, you're here because God wanted to help you.
Amen.
He's trying to, he cares about you, he wants to help you because he loves you. He wants to see you live a full, a fulfilled, blessed life.
Amen.
God did not design you to struggle. Mm-hmm. Nobody was made to bear burdens. Donkeys and mules were made to bear burdens, but not you. God made you to be crowned with glory and honor.
Amen.
And to be his steward on the earth, to represent him on the earth, that's part of your purpose. So we have statutes, we have laws, we have commandments, we have testimonies, we have ways, we have judgments, we have precepts. All of that is the Word of God. He upholds us by the Word of His power so that we don't fail, we don't fall. Now, I'll be honest with you that there's a whole lot of things in the Bible that I don't like as a person. There's a whole lot of things in the Bible that don't go well with my personality and my appetites. But that doesn't change anything. That doesn't change anything at all. They are still there to guide me. I sometimes think of these principles like lighthouses. Don't go there, don't come near. Stay away from this, stay away from that, stay away from that. Or wide open doors where God says, this is the way to go. Come this way. This is where the blessing is. Do this and you will live. Do this and you'll see the blessing come. Do this and you'll see how grand life can be. This is the way to go. And we say, no, I don't like that. And continue to pray, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God says, well, I'm trying to. I'm trying very hard. Look at how many pages I wrote to bring that to you. That's a lot of fun doing this, you know. But I believe God makes it easy for us.
Amen.
He makes it easy for us to understand. He makes it easy for us. It's not difficult. He made it easy for us. Let's quickly see here. Luke. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's not that it is too difficult. It is too simple. That's the problem. Why is it too simple? So that every person on the earth can tap into it. No matter what your IQ is, no matter what your education is, it is so simple that everyone can do it. It's within reach of everybody. It's not too high for anybody. What you see in the world is what you do. That's how we win. Let's go to James, book of James, chapter 1. And verse 21. James 1 and verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, not rebellion, with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Your soul is your mind. Here's the reason why your soul must be saved. Wrong thinking leads to wrongdoing. And wrongdoing leads to bad consequences. That's the reason. It says, plant the word into your mind. Verse 22, that's one step. The next step is, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be a doer, not a hearer only. But a doer, you've got to do it. That's where the blessing comes in. It's in the doing. It's not in the knowing. It's in the doing. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. It really works a lot better with the woman when they put up their makeup in the morning. They stand there and then 10 minutes later say, did I put that on? Better go check, because they forgot. That's what this verse means. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law. Now, yes, law. Remember, law, word, principle, precept, judgment. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Some people read the Bible and they think, this is a word of bondage. It takes away all the fun. It takes away all the pleasure. It takes away all the things that I like. It's a word of bondage. I better not read it. No, it's called the law of liberty. It's a law that makes you free. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now the word becomes work. The word now becomes work. He says, this one will be blessed in what he does. If the word becomes work, you will be blessed in what you do. Isn't that amazing? And he says nothing about praying about it. He says, just do it. That's all you need. Just do it. If you turn the word into work, you will be blessed in what you do. Boy, that's very powerful, man. That is very powerful. How many of you would like to be blessed in everything that you do? Well, I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it.
Amen.
The possibility is there. There's potential for it.
Amen.
That everything you do succeeds. Can you see where God's dream is for you? That in everything that you do, God wants you to succeed. It's amazing. How strong the desire is in the heart of God for us to be blessed. It's amazing. And some people view God as the one that we need to avoid. Run away from Him. He's just after your money. God says, I'm trying to get money to you. I'm trying to get a good family to you and give you a marriage that is so glorious and wonderful. Some guy said, if I knew how wonderful marriage is, I would have married a lot younger. That was the point. that God's trying to bring these blessings to us. And he upholds us even in the face of the enemy, even under attack by the word of his power. Let's do one more in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let's read from verse 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20. Now, this is, as far as I know, one of the greatest principles there is. You're going to see that this morning. The most powerful, I think, it's just my opinion, that this principle I'm going to show you now is the mother of all principles. John chapter 12, verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now you know what he's talking about. He's talking about his death. But you don't have to understand that God doesn't think the way we do. We think, just as the 12 then, we don't want Jesus to die. Death is horrible. But that's not how God sees that. That's not how Jesus sees that. He says it's time to be glorified. See, God's value system is not the same as ours. Now, verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." There's the glory. But it begins with activating a principle. You've got to die. You've got to die. Here's the principle in verse 25. "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." It goes a little bit like this. What you want is what you got to give up. It's tough, eh? But that's where the glory is. What you want is what you must give. Let's confirm that. Luke. Luke. And Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I will not read all of it. I'll just touch on some of these verses. But let's look at verse 27. Luke 6 and verse 27. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." That goes against our grain. You've got to give. Look at verse 28. "Bless those who curse you." Why? So that you can be blessed. You give away the blessing, you're going to get the blessing. Let's go to verse 37. judge not, this red light, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, this green light, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So here's that principle. Give what you want. Give what you want. Now, a big door opens right here. That covers every area of your life. You want a good marriage? Be good to your husband or wife. Give what you want. Give what you want. You cannot sow beans and hope to reap corn. You got to sow what you want, right?
That's right.
This principle is so big, it's so powerful, that even God uses it. How do I know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. He sowed his one son, most precious to him. And the book of Hebrews says, so that he may bring many sons to glory. He sowed his son, so that he could reap many sons. But he had to sow him. That's how powerful this one principle is. You got to give what you want. The blessing is in the giving, in letting go. I've seen that, man, in many different areas in their own life, and my family knows what I'm talking about. There were sometimes things that we pursued. And we came to a place where we said, you know what, we have to let it go. Just let it go. And a little while later, it came back to us. The sowing brought a harvest. But if you hold on to it, I will not let go. I will not let go. I'm holding on to it. You're going to lose it. Because that thing has now become too precious to you. And that's where you begin. You become obsessed with it. You lose it. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing that brings a peace to you as to when you say, you know, I just let it go. I'm sowing that. I just sow it. I will not obsess over it. I will not make it too precious to me. I will just let it go. And then see how it comes back to you. When you sow that seed into the ground, it's lost to you. You can't get it back. But that one seed can bring so much back to you, just one seed that you've sown. It's a principle. The principle works for us. Now, there are many principles, but I'm just showing you this one this morning. It works in family. It works in your work situation. It works in your finances. It works in your health. It works everywhere. You say, I just love that Coca-Cola. I can't go without it. You can drink it if you want to. You're free to do what you want. God gave you a free will. But you continue drinking that stuff, you're going to reap the consequences down the road. But if you let it go, Just let it go. You reap that good health that you have been praying for and asking for. You gotta let go sometimes. You just gotta let go. That's the one principle. So now, here's what we're trying to get through to us this morning. God upholds us through the power of His Word. He upholds us. He gives us principles and precepts and judgments and commandments, not to take away our fun, but to add to it. Amen. To bring blessing to us. Principle. Boy, I tell you, when I discovered this, it just changed everything. When there's an area that just doesn't seem to work out, it just doesn't seem to come together, and you've prayed about it, and you've tried your best, and now you've got to go and say, Lord, what does the Word say about it? Do you know what Proverbs says? Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal, it's the number one thing. It says wisdom comes from the mouth of God. Seek God's wisdom for that area. Seek God's wisdom, it's the principal thing. And it comes from the mouth of God, which is the Word of God. It's the principal thing. It's the number one thing. What does God say about it? Amen. Are we doers of the word?
Amen.
Some of us need to go home and say, you know what? We've been breaking principles that we need to fix. Yes. We've been doing things the wrong way, and we need to fix that. I'm not happy in my marriage. I'm not happy in the family. I'm not happy with my life. But there's a whole bunch of things that God says to do, and we didn't do it. Let's fix that.
Amen.
Let's fix that. I'm not in the mood for that. That's okay. We'll deal with that later on. You'll be surprised to see how things change as you step into obedience. Amen. You'll see how things come along and change. Now, here's a principal thing when it comes to... we're going to receive the offering now. And here's the principle. Here's a principle when it comes to giving to God. God says the first tithe of your income belongs to Him. Not the last one, because by the time you get to the last one, it ain't.
That's right.
He says the first one. Why the first one? Because God put us first. When He reached out to bring us back from our lost darkness, He gave His best. That's the next thing about giving. Give Him your best. It's a principle. It's a principle. The first and the best. That's how we reap financial blessing. Proverbs says there in chapter 4, it says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your income, so your barns will be full and your vats overflow with new wine. There's principle. There's principle there. And Proverbs chapter 4, if you want to look that up, I'll quickly do that for you. Proverbs chapter 4. So you can know that and say, that's not what the pastor says. That's actually what the Bible says. That's not what the pastor says. We don't have to listen to what the pastor says. You just listen to what God says.
Amen.
What the pastor says is not a big deal, but listen, let's listen to what God says. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. First fruits. That's a principle. That's a principle. Thank God for principles.
Amen.
They are shining lights in a dark place that will guide us to a place of victory and overcoming some tough circumstances. God's principles. Okay, let's just pray. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you this morning for your word that is indeed a light on our path and a lamp to our feet to guide us and show us the way, Lord. Thank you that you are mindful of us, that you teach us the way that we need to go. Father, and as we come now and we give of our increase, we give of our income, we come and we activate those principles. And we know that locked up in that principle is your blessing. Amen. And so this morning we give with gratitude, we give with joy. We know we're not losing anything because you designed the principle to bring blessing back to us. I will receive it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen.